Hello, and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching, typically once a week, but I went on an unintended hiatus, not on purpose, and this episode is super late. I am going to be talking about weeks 10 and 11 of Big Brother 26, plus the double, so week 10, the double, and then week 11. My next episode will be hopefully out early this upcoming week since the finale is on Sunday. And it's not like typical Big Brother weekends on Thursday. So I like record on Friday or Saturday and then but because the finale is on Sunday, I will probably record my episode Monday-ish and the episode will probably be out like this upcoming Wednesday. This episode, my apologies for it being late. I originally intended to do a week 10 episode by itself and then things got delayed and I was like, I'll just combine it with week 11 because I do not have the capacity to record a podcast. But what I did not anticipate is that my mental health would get even worse and I didn't end up it took me forever. So my apologies for the delay. If you care about my thoughts on the last few weeks, I appreciate it. If not, sorry, For my own record-keeping insanity, I do like to have, like, I really find it enjoyable to look back on my thoughts of a season throughout, so I don't want to skip a week or just do it all at the end. I do want to get this episode out before the finale, and then I will do the final four to the final three to the finale recap as soon as I'm done. So that's what this episode is going to be. My apologies for the little mini break. Big Brother 26, I will be honest, it's kind of funny. After Angela and Leah went home, that was kind of when my mental health issues didn't have to do with that, but I will be honest, it was a little bit I was really not in the mood to talk about Big Brother 26 because I was really upset about that double eviction. And then I was like, okay, I'll just combine it with the next week. And then I really started struggling mentally. So I had planned in my mind, I was like, I will get an episode out by this upcoming weekend. And I simply just kept pushing it. And I'm recording this on Thursday, the 10th of October. So it's a little late, but this episode will be out. Hopefully the finale last week stretch plus the finale episode won't be out too late in terms of after the finale. But my apologies again. I appreciate if you care and if you listen. This is really more my thoughts on gameplay. I will, of course, be breaking down like what happened day by day and then sharing my thoughts, the trajectory of the last few weeks. But my apologies for the delay. Appreciate you if you check in or if you tune in. And I am just going to get started because what a few weeks in Big Brother it's been. So on Thursday, the 19th of September, that's how far we're going back, MJ wins the HOH. And she plans to nominate Kimo and Angela as her initial nominations. I don't remember what this HOH competition was, so I'm not going to talk about it. Leah, from the beginning, is advocating for Angela to not be nominated. She doesn't think it makes sense, and she's also making great points to MJ. Although MJ is not the right audience because she really is, at this point, very, very firmly Team Chelsea. So I know a lot of things could have progressed. I'm not talking about present day as of the 10th of October. I'm going back in time a little bit just to track the trajectory. MJ is lying to Leah about who her target is. She really wants Angela out, but she's telling her that Kimo is the target and Angela's a pawn. Also, Janky is murdered on Thursday, the 19th. So may he rest in peace. They showed that on Sunday's episode, Sunday the 22nd, and it was really sad. I will be honest. I was sad. I did buy myself my sister got it for me, actually, but I have a Janky's World trucker hat. Love it so much. I also am currently fostering kittens, and I named them after Big Brother 26 parts and people that I loved. I named one Vito, and then I have Janky, and then I have Quinn and Leah, because those are my two favorite house guests. So Janky's memory lives on in my little foster kitten. But anyways, also Red Ainsley, like Ainsley, but she's red. After she kills Janky, says she wants to break the human spirit. She's doing a great job breaking mine personally, Ainsley has. Ainsley's ruined everything for me. I'm kidding. On Friday the 20th, Zingbot comes and I like some of the Zings. Mackenzie's is kind of boring. Cam's was kind of predictable. Angela's I liked. Rubina's, I didn't really care for. Chemo's, it was a fun play on words. None of them hit that hard for me, I will be honest. Quinn would have had a really funny, like, I feel like a lot of the really, Leah's was about being a chubby chaser, which is like, okay, whatever. Like, a lot of them are just, they were fine. They were not the, like, I do not think that I will be remembering these zings for a very long time. There's some zings I think about still to this day. Like, I think Frankie Grande's zing was really funny. I think Corey's from last season was obviously really funny. And similar, like, America's was, like, not, it was, like, about robbing the cradle. It was not as interesting as, like, Corey's was a whole song. These were okay, but it was nice. He also, he came completely not related to a comp or anything. So I don't know why they couldn't bring him a little bit sooner, but at least Angela was there. I'm glad Angela got her little song zing. Everybody, she deserves that. MJ nominates, Joseph's would have been so funny. Sorry. MJ on Friday nominates Angela and Chemo, and she does warn Angela ahead of time that she will be nominated, but she is again lying to her that she's the target. Angela begins to feel she may be in trouble, and she asks Leah if she's in trouble, and Leah says no, because that's what Mackenzie has been telling her. She's been telling her, Angela's good, Chemo's my target. Meanwhile, Angela's the target. Chemo is good. On Saturday, the 21st of September, everyone but Rubina are playing in the veto. This is the last week before everybody plays in the veto, and Rubina is the only one not chosen. The veto was a movie-related comp about the Wild Robot. You know what's so funny is when feeds came back and they were describing the competition, before they said the name of the movie, I was like, oh my god, I think it's the Wild Robot, because I see billboards for it all the time. I'm like, oh my god, the Wild Robot. Makes sense. AI. They're talking about nature. I'm like, it definitely has to do with the Wild Robot. Anyways, MJ wins again. Congrats to MJ. And she's good at comps. What can I say? Chelsea begins pushing for Leah to be the replacement nominee. MJ is initially hesitant. Angela is starting to realize that she may be going home this week, and she is not in the best mental state because of that. MJ, as of Saturday, was planning not to use the veto. She's like, it doesn't make sense. Leah's on my side. Nominations stay the same. We get Angela out, which is what I want, better this way. Keep that in mind. On Sunday, the 22nd of September, Chelsea and Cam pushed and successfully end up convincing MJ to use the veto and nominate Leah as the replacement because MJ is stupid. I'm kidding. That's mean. But I was really frustrated by this entire week, and I feel like it's not that surprising to me, looking back, reading my notes, that I, like, kind of took a mental break and was like, I don't want to talk about this on the podcast because I feared I was going to be too mean. And now there's a little bit of distance and a little bit of time, and I'm not. When Quinn went home, I was sad, but I was like, he lasted longer than he could have. You know, he fucked up his game early on, and he made it to jury, and I was happy he made it to jury. He left, he had okay HOH, like he got most of the experience. He didn't get to play in comics and he didn't get sing bop, but he got a lot of the experiences. Like, he left on a good note. So I was okay when Quinn left. But when Leah went home, like, this whole week was really upsetting because it was just stupid. Do we think Quinn going when he went was stupid for some of the people who sent him home? Yes. But this was so unbelievably, like, bad gameplay. It was great gameplay for Chelsea, but for MJ, it was just so illogical because it's like, you have the power, you made two nominations, why get more blood on your hands? And why get more blood on your hands to get somebody out who's not targeting you? MJ says at some point in her DRs during this week that Leah's not going after her, but she's going after Chelsea, and that's not good for her. And I respectfully disagree. Having an ally who will not go after you, but will go after another ally of yours at this point in the game is actually good, because then Leah can get Chelsea out. The blood is not on your hands. You had nothing to do with it. But somebody standing in your way who's a really good player, like Chelsea, is out of the game. Like, having Leah in the game is objectively, like, would objectively be really good for MJ. She's somebody who would never target MJ, and she's always somebody people are going to target before MJ. Plus, she can make moves to get rid of people like Chelsea, people like, let's say, Cam, who are threats to MJ's game. Not that Cam's really a threat to MJ's game. Love you, dog at the crib, but, like, let's be real. But, like, you know what I mean? Her saying it's not good if Leah's here because she's going to target Chelsea, that's actually a great reason why you should want her here, because her targeting Chelsea is good for you without you getting the blood in your hands. But I fear MJ does not understand the game, respectfully. MJ talks to Rubina at some point on Sunday and asks about Leah. And Rubina does tell her that Leah talked to Rubina about Chelsea's threat level and wanting to target Chelsea. And this just adds to the I cannot have Leah here if she's going to target Chelsea idea of MJ's. But alas, it really does just bother me. Like, MJ, you would, there's a good chance you'll lose against Chelsea. She's a really good player. You should want people here who will target her so you don't have to do that and potentially lose their jury vote. Do I know if, like, I don't know. I feel like Chelsea, for the most part, she has a few blind spots, but I feel like for the most part, she's been a very rational player, very strategic, like, good player. Not emotional, not like resentful. I don't think if she was a juror, she would be a bitter juror. I don't believe that. I do think that there are some people, like, I'm not saying that there wouldn't be personal levels to it. Like, do I think if Angela was in the final two seats that, depending who she's up against, she really didn't like Leah either. I don't think she would have voted for Leah at the end. Like, there are certain aspects like that I think would have played a role, but I don't think if MJ, who, like, if somebody were to get Chelsea out and it was a good move, I don't think that she would hold that against. Anyways, going on all these unnecessary tangents, but it's like, it's good to have somebody in the game who's going after Chelsea so you don't have to. You know what I mean? And, like, respectfully, Rubina and Kimo aren't winning that many competitions, so Leah is somebody who can win comps. It's just smart to have her around. But what can I say? I'm talking to a wall. MJ chose Cam, Kimo, and Rubina for the movie reward because she won the veto, so she got to watch the movie. And she did so because Cam, Kimo, and Rubina neither have, none of them have won HOHs, so they haven't had, like, letters or photos or anything from the outside world. And I will say, I think this was very sweet of Mackenzie. I appreciate that. I will give her flowers when they're due. MJ, this was such a funny conversation. MJ tells Kimo she's considering using the veto on Kimo, and he asks if that would be good for her game. Like, I died laughing. Like, that was so funny. She's like, he's like, really? But, like, because it wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. Like, at this point, the thing is, it really depends who MJ would be up against. Because are there people who I think maybe MJ might win against? Yes, but I also, like, I don't know. So much is going to be determined for me at the jury roundtable. Because I feel like we haven't gotten a ton of jury content. So I don't really know. Like, last year, when we got the jury content, I feel like the jury segments, I don't know, I got a lot more insight into how they're thinking strategically. I need to see the jury roundtable because I really don't know what people are thinking in terms of, like, win equity against certain people, you know? Anyways, but going on all these unnecessary tangents, my apologies. Leah, also on Sunday, Leah overhears Chelsea, Rubina, and Kimo whispering about her. She's up on the balcony outside, and they're playing pool whispering, and they don't realize she's asleep. She doesn't hear what they say, but as soon as she goes down, they stop talking, and she, like, freaks out, which is totally fair. They're kind of freaking out, too, because they're like, what if she heard what we were saying, because they were talking about her and about her going up and all these things. And so she's kind of freaking out, and she is really regretting not targeting Chelsea last week when she was HOH. And I talked about this a little bit in my week 9 recap, my janky week recap, where I understand that feeling that she has now, and I understand why people were critical of her targeting that trio and not the MJ, Chelsea, and Cam trio. But I don't fully blame her because she didn't want to. It's hard because if I was in the game, I would also be like, I don't want to potentially cut ties with MJ. She's a valuable ally, and I don't want to do something to upset her by targeting Chelsea at this point in the game when it's not necessary. There's a solid trio. Let's target the trio instead and keep MJ close to me and show Chelsea, like, build a favor. What Leah failed to realize is that, and I don't really blame her, but it's like there was no favor that was going to be able to be built that would make Chelsea. I mean, I feared the same thing happened with Quinn. You know, he didn't target anybody in the five, but, like, they still were like, we got to get him out. Like, at some point, you can do something that you think it makes more sense because you're trying to, like, maintain certain relationships. But, like, it is what it is at the end of the day. I don't know. It was unfortunate. Like, I understand where she was coming from. But also, would Leah have even had the numbers to get Chelsea out? It just sucks because they ended up targeting her anyway. So, it's like, hindsight is 20/20. Maybe she should have tried to make the shot. But getting T-Core out is still a really good move. And if it had built favor and they had believed her, it could have lasted her a little bit into the game. So, it's just hard for me to really say that, like, Leah made a bad decision by not targeting Chelsea when she did, because I understand the reasoning, and I think it's a valid thing to not want to target Chelsea at that point in the game and burn those bridges with MJ. MJ, unfortunately, will burn the bridge herself. You know, Quinn protects her. Boom. She uses the veto to enact the backdoor plan and wants to get Quinn out. It's so stupid. Like, MJ really just, I'd hate to be an ally of MJ's. I'm not gonna lie. Unless you're Chelsea. But, like, Chelsea and MJ are less allies, and Chelsea's more like a puppet master. That feels so mean. I'm sorry. But am I? A little bit. I am. My apologies. At the end of Sunday, MJ has decided that she is going to use her veto on Chemo and nominate Leah as a replacement. And I've said what I need to say about it. On Monday the 23rd, MJ uses the veto on Chemo and she nominates Leah as the replacement. And I wrote in my notes, congrats Chelsea on winning Big Brother 26. We'll see. But that's who I personally, at this point in the game, think, like, as of October 10th, as of when I'm recording this, I do think I would be the most satisfied with Chelsea winning of the people remaining, just because I think she's the best player. I think there are other contestants that it would be interesting to see. Like, I don't know. I'm interested. Like, obviously, like, there's less than a week. There's, like, I'm recording this Thursday. The finale is Sunday. Like, everything's going to happen really quickly. But I am just interested to see, like, who the final two end up being. Because if Chelsea's in the final two, I'm betting on Chelsea. But if Chelsea's not in the final two, I really don't know who I'm... Because I feel like, I don't know. So I'm interested to see how the final week plays out. And obviously, I'll talk about that in my next episode. But I think, personally, I would be most satisfied by Chelsea winning. Was I rooting for her the whole time? Not really. Do I vibe with her personally? Not completely. But do I think she's a good player? And do I respect her gameplay for the most part? Yeah, I think she's a pretty good player. And I do respect her gameplay. Aspects of it I don't love, but I do. But honestly, the things I don't love about her gameplay, it's more just like the way she talks about some people personally. And that really isn't super gameplay related. It's just like not my vibe personally. So I don't know. I do think she's a good player. I will give her that. I think she has, if she wins, I think her Ethanimal, whichever of those YouTubers who, like, they don't show their face, they just speak, who does the, like, how blah blah one Big Brother. I think Chelsea's video will be really, really interesting, because there were multiple moments, like the Pentagon got destroyed, and then she's earned the title if she does win. But we'll see how. Anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. MJ freaks out after nominating Leah because she feels so horrible, and people comfort her. And this really bothered me. Like, I was really, really annoyed. I was like, you just blindsided Leah. You told her multiple times you weren't using the veto, that she was safe, that Angela wasn't the target. You said all of these things, and then you use the veto on Chemo and you nominate Leah, and you're upset. Like, it's so annoying. It's like, just make the move. And I feel like there's a part of Mackenzie which is like, this actually isn't that good of a move, but Chelsea telling it, like, I don't know. I feel like part of this probably comes from some internal battle where she realizes it's actually not a good move for her. That's the only explanation that I can really gather, because it's like, why are you so distraught about, like, a game decision you made? I mean, I don't know. I guess some people make decisions and then they feel bad on personal levels, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like if I was in her shoes and I was this upset about the decision, it would be because part of me was like, I think this was a bad one. Like, I don't know why I did this. It actually doesn't make sense. I feel like if you can, or maybe not, but I feel like if I was playing Big Brother and I had to target somebody I considered a friend and I felt really bad about that, if I could logically be like, I love them, I care about this person, but this is objectively a really, like, this is really a good game move, this is the best path for me, it would be less hard. It would be hard still because you don't want to betray people you care about. But it'd be like, this makes sense. You know, the way Chelsea, I feel like, felt about her decision of targeting Quinn. She loved Quinn. She thought he was a great guy. She was sad to do it because he deserved to be there and she wanted to see him there. But she knew that it made sense for her game and so she did it. MJ, it's like, I don't know if she has that level of like, this is a good game decision. Like, I don't know. MJ very much feels like the kind of player who has to like find some kind of reason outside of just this is a good game move for targeting somebody when it's just like, that's not necessary. You can love somebody, you can respect. It's like football, you know? If you're playing against somebody on an opposing team and your friends, you're not gonna like go easy on them because you care about them and they want to win too. You play the game and then at the end, it's good game, good sportsmanship. You respect each other as game players. It's not, Big Brother's more complicated because it's a social dynamics game. Obviously that part, it's not purely a sport, but like, it's interesting to me because it's like, why are you so upset about this decision if you think it's a good one? But I don't know. Also, MJ makes cookies to try to cheer Leah up. Like it really pissed me off. Also, on Monday, AI Julie appeared and gave them warnings, mentioning stuff about the jurors. And I had a window of hope where I was like, oh my God, jury battle back. We're going to get Quinn back. That does not appear to be the case. Like, the finale's on Thursday, on Sunday. It'd be kind of crazy if there was a battle back right now. Oh my God, imagine if there's battle back. That would be kind of weird. Anyways, lost my train of thought. They begin to speculate that a double eviction is coming. MJ blames Rubina and Kimo for Leah's nominations, like to Leah. She blames it on stuff Rubina said. She does not place any blame on Chelsea. She's protecting Chelsea this entire time, even though Chelsea and Cam also were the ones who really pushed for it and like came up with reasons why it made sense to target Leah. Chelsea is a really good player. I wrote in my notes, she's unfortunately a great player. I have to give her that. There are certain things about Chelsea I don't know if I vibe with personally, but that's really not relevant to how I view. I mean, it is. I've said this before. My ideal Big Brother player is one who I connect with their game style and I appreciate their game approach, and I also enjoy their personality. It's why I really liked Corey and America, because I feel like I enjoyed watching them. I found them entertaining. I still follow them and am subscribed to their Patreon, and I like their personalities. Like, I find them entertaining as people in the like parasocial, I feel like we'd get along if we met in real life kind of vibes. And I appreciated the way they thought about and talked about the game. So that for me makes like a perfect Big Brother player. Then there are players who I can appreciate their game, but I don't know if I vibe with them personally. And I like them, I appreciate them as players, but I don't know if I am truly rooting for them to win because I want somebody I like to win. So it's just, but as a player and out of the people left, I do think Chelsea, and honestly, I felt this for a while, that Chelsea's playing a really, really great game and it's hers to lose. So I'm not dissing Chelsea. And honestly, I think my personal opinions on a house guest really aren't super, obviously there are like limits and there are things that I don't, like I was never going to root for Matt last season because I don't think misogyny is acceptable. There are certain aspects about Chelsea I don't really like, but like at this, like, I don't know. It's hard for me because I don't want my personal distaste for a person to be why I like root against them, because I don't feel like that's the point of the game. It's not like a popularity contest. It's not who I like the most. It's who's playing the best game. And I do think Chelsea is playing the best game. So it's like, you know what I mean? So I really try not to be like, I don't like this person, and like infuse that into my coverage and my thoughts on the game, because I don't find it necessary. I don't find it necessary to be like, I don't really like Chelsea, so I don't want her to win, because if she wins, she earned it and she played a good game and I can appreciate those aspects of her game, and also not really vibe with certain things she does or says, because people are complex and not one-dimensional, and me disliking one aspect of the way she's carried herself doesn't mean I dislike her and I hate her as a human being and I wish the worst for her. I did tweet after the double eviction that I was rooting for Chelsea's downfall. I was like, I don't care anymore who wins. I just want Chelsea to lose. I don't feel that way anymore. I said that in the heat of the moment and I didn't really believe that. I was just angry about the events of the double eviction. Like, you know, it is what it is. But I do think Chelsea's playing a good game. I will not say that she's a bad player. Obviously, she's not perfect. Nobody is. But she is a good player. And I can acknowledge that and appreciate that. Will I follow her after the game? No. Like, I don't think I'm going to want to keep up with Chelsea. I don't really think, you know, but that's fine. don't know if that's why she went on the show. So MJ brings Chelsea into her conversation with Leah. This was really upsetting to watch. I watched it on feeds. Not for like any, like nothing crazy happened, but like MJ and Leah were having a conversation, and Leah, in my opinion, was making good points about how it doesn't make sense. And MJ was deflecting the blame onto Rubina and Chemo. And then some stuff that was said about Chelsea or to Chelsea or concerns Chelsea had. And then Chelsea came in, and I really did not like this conversation. It bothered me. I feel like it was just them kind of trying to be like, this is your fault, Leah, which I guess they're not going to be like, sorry, we, but it's just weird. It's like you blindside somebody who tried their best to build favor with you regardless. Like, she didn't target your trio last week when she could have. And she didn't. And then instead of, like, having, I don't know, it was just the way they approached the entire thing, and then basically being like, Leah, it's your fault. Which, like, I guess they, on some level, they have to say that. But I feel like if I was in the game, I don't know. I don't know how I would have approached it. It's just hard. Because I feel like I would prefer, if I was Leah in that situation, for somebody to say, look, I lost trust with you. There are a lot of things that happen that I just don't know if I can fully trust you. It's nothing you did. I see that you've been trying to build favor, but I think there was just a lack of connection from early on, and I don't know if we could ever get to that place where I could fully trust you. Something like that. It felt like they were trying to, like, bullet point, say what Leah did wrong to, like, justify nominating her. They could even just be like, look, this is a good move for me. You're unpredictable. You can win comps. You're more of a threat. Like, things that feel less... I didn't like this conversation. I didn't watch the entire thing because it kind of bothered me. But anyways, Angela begins to campaign, although she does struggle to do so against Leah. She does feel bad. On Tuesday, they get a teaser for the summit, and my hopes went away about the jury battle back because all of those, like, clues seem to be about that instead. I do not believe that they have shown anything about the summit in the edited episodes. Did I miss that? Did they show that and I just didn't, I forgot about that? Because I don't feel like whatever happened at the summit. Anyways, MJ suggests keeping Leah to Chelsea, but Chelsea is not having it at all. And she also talks about, to Leah, she talks about next week, and she mentions nominating Angela again, which just kind of, you know, she says this in front of Leah. So obviously Leah's going to be like, okay, they're keeping Angela. If Angela's going to be nominated again this week, then I'm going home against Angela. Also, lots of songs and singing. Chemo and Rubina sing and sing. they love to sing. On Wednesday, September 25th, Leah campaigns. Cam is like, why'd you wait until Wednesday? In her defense, she got nominated on Monday, okay? It's not like she's been nominated since Friday and she hasn't campaigned at all. She got nominated 2 days ago. It was a blindside. Sometimes you take like a day to like recoup. Then Tuesday she had this conversation with, like, I don't really blame her. What is, like, I don't know. I don't know. It's hard for me because it's like, am I a little bit of a Leah apologist? I'm like, yeah. Is it really her fault? But I also think, like, timeline does matter. I do think you're at a disadvantage if you're nominated on, like, after a veto because you have less time. So, anyways, Rubina promises to keep Angela. Chelsea and Cam talk about potentially going after MJ in a double, and I had a glimmer of hope. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Leah's going, but maybe MJ will be next. Maybe MJ will follow her out the door, and I will have a moment of peace. Because honestly, I know I tweeted that I'm just, I tweeted this before the double. I was like, at this point, I'm more so rooting against certain people than I am rooting for people. And when I said that, I had originally had MJ in mind because she's just been pissing me off so bad that I, like, really do not want her to win. But I take solace in the fact that I really don't think she will win. I guess it depends who she's up against. But I have hope that MJ will not win a jury vote. That sounds really mean. I just don't think she deserves it. Like, she's good at comps, but strategically, she's not a good player, and I don't want her to win. I'm sorry. I'm not. That's just my, that's my truth, okay? I don't want MJ to win Big Brother 26. This has been a phenomenal season. I think she'd be a lackluster winner. That is my truth. So, anyways. So, originally when I tweeted that, I was like, I just need MJ to leave. So, when they were talking about that, I was like, you know what? If Leah goes, but MJ goes out next, I at least I'll have a little bit of happiness, which is stupid, but unfortunately that's where I was at mentally. I was like, I need her to leave. Anyways, that is where we left off on Wednesday. The double eviction was happening on Thursday. So on Thursday on the live episode, we see the post Leah nomination fallout condensed, of course. MJ makes cookies, they comfort MJ, yada, yada, yada. I've been through it. Leah is evicted, the first unanimous vote of the season, and she makes history once again. She was the last person to touch the block this season, and she was the first unanimous vote, which is kind of sad history to make, but she made it nonetheless. Chelsea wins the double eviction HOH. It's like a Q&A, and the tiebreaker question is, how long was Janky alive? Like, they're just mocking him at this point. Like, they're so cruel. They brought him to life. They exploited him. They made merch. I bought a hat. My sister bought me the hat. But, like, I have a Janky World hat. And then they killed him on live TV. That's so mean of them. How dare they? How dare they? Anyways, in the tiebreaker, it's between Chelsea and Angela. And Chelsea does win. And I was devastated. I was devastated. We were so close. We could have had it all. Anyways, she nominates Chemo and Angela. Angela's her target. Boo, corny, tomato, tomato. I'm throwing tomatoes. Chemo wins the veto. Kind of like a zigzag puzzle type thing. I don't know how to describe it, but Chemo wins, and Angela is once again so close, but she does not win. Rubina is the replacement nominee, but Chelsea says when she nominates Rubina that she knows Rubina will stay. Angela is evicted unanimously, and my spirit went with her, and that is why I took a 2-week break. No, I'm kidding. On Thursday, the 26th, after the double eviction, MJ wins HOH. It's like the tiny veto, but instead it's a tiny HOH. Also, Cam, because Chelsea can watch them play as she's the outgoing HOH, she's watching them do the little thing, and Cam is really pissing her off in the way he's playing. He's, like, not having much urgency. He just kind of, like, goes very slowly. She is really starting to get annoyed at Cam. She feels like he's not putting his heart out on the field, you know? So that is something that begins to happen. The plan is to nominate Chemo and Rubina because, of course. I think part of the reason Leah and Angela going was so frustrating was because it kind of felt like, well, that's the predictable trajectory of the season. Like, now Chelsea's probably going to win, which, again, she earned it, but it's less entertaining. Something that's been, and I know end game is always a little bit slower in some regards, but the fascinating thing about this season is that every week, like, something crazy happened and, like, the pendulum kept swinging, and it just kind of feels like, okay, the pendulum is firmly going to stay in this court because Chemo and Rubina, God bless them, are not compy, so it's just going to alternate. And first it's going to be Chemo, then it's going to be Rubina, then the final three HOH will determine a lot, but, like, probably Chelsea's going to be in the end because if MJ wins, she'll take Chelsea. If Chelsea wins, she'll be in the end. And Cam doesn't seem like he's going to win a competition. Sorry, I love him, but it's just true. I love a comp flop. I'm not going to lie. I hate a comp beast. Love a comp flop. I love a comp flop. The less competitions you win, the more I love you. That's somewhat a joke. But I literally, as soon as Tucker started his little streak, I literally made a TikTok where I was like, I hate a comp beast so much that with every competition Tucker wins, the more I want him out. So I love a comp flop. Slay King. I love Cam. Anyways, so I really, it felt like, okay, it's signed, sealed, delivered, Chelsea's winning, which is, again, fine, but it did make things a little bit less interesting. Like, MJ wins, okay. Chemo, Rubina, noms, of course. Like, you know what I mean? It's, like, kind of a very typical, like, it's predictable for the most part. I do think final four to final three, the final three, like, I do think there's going to be a lot of really, I'm really excited to talk about, like, the final four to the final three to the finale. I think there's a lot of interesting dynamics that are happening there in terms of, like, will MJ and Cam realize that they need to get Chelsea out? Like, what's going to happen? I am interested, and I do think, like, game time decision, that stuff does make a big difference, because I remember watching Big Brother 25, I felt less so, because I really thought, okay, it's Matt and Jack at the end, or at least Matt, one of them is going to win, because Bowie Jane, God bless her, I don't think, even if she's in the end, she's going to win a jury vote. And, like, Felicia was final four, and I didn't think that Felicia was going to be able to win out at the end and therefore go to the final two. So at that point, I was like, it was set. There is a little bit more unpredictability, because who knows if somebody will make a big decision by cutting Chelsea. I don't know. There are questions to be had, of course. So it's not that predictable, but I will say week 11 this week was a little bit less interesting. I think that the end game of, like, from final four to final three to who ends up in the final two, that's going to be really interesting. And I'm excited to talk about, but week 11 itself was kind of like, okay, knew it was going to happen. and that's fine. But anyways, on Friday, the 27th, MJ did her typical rounds before nominations. Chemo brings up being a pawn. Rubina points out that Cam and Chelsea are close to MJ, which is valid, but also MJ's too involved with Chelsea to hear it. I also think, I mean, I don't think I know that I think, not me, I think I know, I think I know. But I think Chelsea, and she did say this in DRs, but things can change. She did say that she would take MJ in the final, to the final two. And I do believe that because I think she could win. And I also think, and I saw somebody else say this, so this isn't a super original thought, but because Chelsea said in her DRs that she has controlled a lot of MJ's HOHs and like been able to manipulate MJ when she's in power. So she's had more power when MJ's been in power than when she's been in power. I think that because that is probably part of her pitch in the final two, she wouldn't want MJ on the jury in case that would upset MJ as a final plea. So if MJ can't vote against her, that's another reason to take MJ to the final two. So I do think while Rubina's like Cam and Chelsea are close thing makes sense, I don't think that MJ is particularly worried about Chelsea choosing Cam over her, especially because she and Chelsea are beginning to have a lot of frustrations about his lack of performance. But I will continue to get into that. And MJ, after this conversation, really throws Rubina under the bus to Chelsea. And we saw this in the episode, but Chelsea handled it really well. Like, she's like, I never said that. Like, and MJ believes her. Like, she believes her. And we even got a flashback into Chelsea kind of literally, I'm like 99% sure she did actually say MJ's name, because she writes it off as like, I said big threats, but I wasn't talking about you. Of course I wasn't talking about you, things like that. But she handles it well. And again, MJ and Chelsea remain solid as of this point. Chelsea wants Chemo to be the target. Chemo and Rubina end up getting nominated on Friday. And Chemo and Rubina want to get MJ on their side away from Cam and Chelsea. Do they do much to do it? They try. Not a ton, but they try. Sorry, I'm such a hater. I really like Chemo. I appreciate a super fan. Rubina, I have nothing against her personally, but I really just don't connect with her as like a player, because I watch the show for the gameplay and she just doesn't feel like she's that in it. Like I don't feel like that's why she's there. She's there for the platform, which I've said this many, many times, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but I have no problem with recruits. I understand that Big Brother is a huge opportunity and I respect people taking it to expand their platform, influencing. I respect it as a profession to some degree, obviously, if you're like selling horrible products and to your impressionable audience, I think you suck. But like, I don't have a hatred for people who go on TV and then pursue social media. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think in this economy, having any kind of, like, if you can make a living and you're your own boss and you control your own hours and you make money, I think that's great. I think influencing is a great thing, because I think it, like, influencer marketing is really valuable for the consumer, for the companies doing the marketing, and for the influencer who can make a living supporting themselves. Like, all those things matter. Like, and I find I really enjoy content creation in terms of like as a consumer. I mean, I make this podcast and I make TikToks occasionally, but I'm obviously not like a content creator, but I do find content creation very interesting and like really valuable and important and great. Like, I have nothing against people who want platforms for whatever reason. For me, it just, there's a disconnect when it feel like you don't also care about the game you're playing, because it's like, it just feels like you're there for screen time and not there at all for any aspect of the strategic game. And I find that a little bit annoying. I'm not gonna lie. I find Rubina's attitude about her perspective of the game a little bit annoying. I do not connect with it personally. I have nothing against her. She seems like a sweet person, but I just don't connect with that kind of perspective on the game. Because if I were to ever go on Big Brother, which I don't anticipate myself ever doing that, but if I were to go on Big Brother, I would be so appreciative of the game. Like, the thing is, I think some people go on the show with the perspective of like, this is a TV show. I'm here to be entertaining. I'm here for the platform. I'm here to be on TV. And other people go on the show because they like the game of Big Brother and they're there to play the game. And obviously the fact that it's a TV show is part of the game, but they care about the structure of the game. They want to win the game because they enjoy that. And for me, I connect more with those people. The people who go on because they want to be on TV or they view it as a show, those people are valuable in their own regard. it's just not really the kind of player that I connect with emotionally. I feel like Tucker had a similar mindset. He wanted to be the most entertaining, do the most entertaining things. And I think those kind of players are super important in a show. I don't think you can have only super hardcore gamers, but I am just always going to lean more towards the gamers because I find that more interesting personally. I think the entertaining players who are like, I'm here to be entertaining, like Tucker, like Rubina, like those people, they matter and they're important. And I've nothing against, again, I've nothing against it. It's just not something I connect with as much, I will be honest. So sorry, no shade to Rubina. Just that's my opinion. Chelsea and MJ are really annoyed with Cam's lack of action. They feel like they've been carrying him this whole game. He hasn't won anything. They're really not happy with his game performance, and it's just about to get worse. But I will say, okay, one thing I will say about Cam, some people call him a floater. That is categorically false. People confuse coaster with floater, and like, I get the floater now it means another thing, but I don't think we should lose, because floating is like a legitimate strategy. Floaters float to power. Cam's been strictly with the same people the whole game. If anything, he's a coaster. Like, he's just been there along for the ride, hasn't really made any moves. He won a veto once, which was an important move, but he hasn't actively been strategically like manipulating people, strategically playing, and he also hasn't been winning comps and making any moves in that regard. So I would say Cam is more of a coaster. Do I care? No, I love Cam. I find him entertaining. I don't really care. I don't really care if you're a coaster, if you're a floater, if you make it. I don't care. I'm not really that critical of the, again, I'm not in the game, so maybe if I felt like I was just carrying somebody along, it'd be a little bit more frustrating. But as a viewer, that doesn't really impact me that much. It does bother me when people misuse floater, because I feel like floating is such a maligned strategy when like some of the best players are floaters. And I think if people like really use floater in the definition of what it is, they would like, maybe they wouldn't appreciate it. Maybe your version of Big Brother is like, you need to win comps and make those moves. But I think floating is such a smart strategy. And I personally really, I love floaters. I love floaters. I'm sorry. I love floaters. It also feels really disrespectful to June from Big Brother 4, who literally coined the floater strategy. And like, that was the first time like floater was used, because she literally said, or her ex who was in the game said that she floated to power. Like, what are we talking about? That floaters, people misuse floater, it pisses me off. But anyways, on Saturday, the veto is comics. My thoughts on the comics. I really liked Quinn's. I thought his was cute. Leah's was kind of boring. Tucker's was funny. I saw it was the instigator, and I saw a lot of people being like, they didn't put it together. But they never knew that the AI instigator was called the AI instigator, so I don't totally blame them. I also, for a moment, I was like, isn't that kind of like interference if they're revealing that? I mean, not super relevant, I guess, because he's not in the game, so it wouldn't impact the game. But also, no, because they don't know it was called the AI instigator. Angela's loved, and I loved that Angela had, she basically made do. Brooklyn's being the charcuterie thief based off of the fact that she stole Angela's charcuterie was funny in the regard of like how iconic Angela is, but it was a little bit annoying to me because I'm like, nothing about her being a married mother. Cam's the chameleon, that one was cute. Lisa's I really didn't like. The glitter critter, they couldn't have made her like a glitter fairy. Glitter is so cute. They made her a rat. That feels a little insensitive. Kind of rude. I don't really like the fact they made her like a rat, literally. I also don't feel like it's super accurate. Matt's was fine. Crazy eyes, boring, predictable. Rubina's was also fine. Quinn's was my favorite. But I will say, I mean, obviously my name's not Quinn, so I wouldn't wear a Quinn Sanity. But like, I would take that as a hate crime if I was on the show and they made my comic about like being a mental patient as somebody who's been in a psych ward. I'd be like, this is a hate crime, okay? But I think it worked. It works for him because of the name play. But I liked most of them. Did I miss anybody's? Oh, T-Core slayed. Chelsea's the microchip. I get that maybe she, that young Cedric, loved young Cedric. Chelsea's was kind of fine. Joey's was great. Joseph. I was like, what do I call? I'm like, I've never called him Joey or Joe. It felt weird. But Joseph. I think his ad on Instagram, it says Joey, and his brother calls him Joey. But I'm like, because his brother was running the account, not like I know his brother. But I was like, Joey. I'm like, no, Joseph's. Joseph's was good. Again, Leah's was fine. I don't know. Kenny's was fine. Most of them, they were good. I didn't really hate any of them. I really love the fact that Angela like basically spawned too. Like she spawned Crazy Eyes and the Chucruder Thief. Like she's iconic. I love Angela. But they were good. I like them. And MJ wins the veto. And I would like to say that she still didn't beat America from Big Brother 25's time. America's still the fastest woman to ever play Big Brother comics, and also she is the third fastest time overall. So congrats to America for still remaining undefeated. Love her. Also, Cam's time was like over 30 minutes, and they're like, what the hell, Cam? And he admits that he took breaks, which like, I love you. I love you so much, Cam. Like smooches, like nothing but love from me. I enjoy watching him. He brings me joy. He's from Maryland. I grew up in Maryland. A lot of love for fellow Marylanders. But, like, that was just stupid on his part. He shouldn't have admitted that. Like, okay, you took breaks. Respect it. I see it. Maybe don't say that. Don't say that. And Chelsea and MJ begin to continue. They're really angry that he's, like, not doing anything in the game. We even see him in the edited episode on Thursday's episode when we see this, because there was no Wednesday episode that week. It was just 2 hours on Thursday. He like, even Chelsea's talking to the camera at some point for Chelsea's chisme, and which is like the thing she coined. I'm not like calling it that. She coined Chelsea's chisme, and she talks to the camera and says chisme. She's talking to the camera, and then Cam walks in and he's like, I'm sorry about my performance. It was kind of sad. Shout out to all the dogs at the crib. I'm so serious. They are considering they're considering nominating Cam as a replacement because his lack of action is really pissing them off. And they're like, maybe he should get a taste of the block. On Sunday, Cam defends himself a little bit, re his comp performance, and they seem to back off on the idea of nominating Cam. Does he do the best job? No. But it's fine. It's really like the thing is, it's one thing to kind of not do the best. I would just not admit to taking breaks, especially because Chelsea was watching you do the HOH competition, and like that was something she was annoyed about. Obviously, I don't think she told him, but she was like, I don't know. You shouldn't have admitted that you took breaks. But alas, love him nonetheless. MJ's idea of using the veto at this point and nominating Cam is stupid to me. Okay, she doesn't end up doing it. Sorry, spoiler. Eventually, she ends up not doing it. Part of the reason it's stupid is not because she's going to nominate Cam. Like, do I think Cam would maybe be a little bit bitter toward, like, maybe. But the reason is because she talks about it as, like, a way to build favor with Rubina. She's like, this would build trust. And I'm like, you are in the final five. What are you talking about building trust? What are you talking about? No, final six. Yeah, no, final five. Oh my God, sorry. You're in the final five. What are you talking about building trust? Using a veto to build trust? That doesn't make any sense. Next week is the final four, and then boom, final three, and the final three on finale night. What are you talking about building trust? Like, that's stupid. You guys have the relationship you have. You already nominated her. You're targeting her. You have to get everybody out eventually. Like, I feel like sometimes players in Big Brother, and I feel like it's like the ones who don't know the game as well, I feel like they play as if they're still in like week two or week three when there's a lot more people. It's like, no, you're down to the wire. Using a veto on somebody to build trust isn't that strategic of a move. It's stupid at this point because you already have the relationship you have. You have to get everybody out but one other person at this point in the game. Like, there's no other people to target but the people left. You know what I mean? It's like, build favor for who? And then it doesn't make any sense. Anyways, she doesn't end up doing it. But I do just find that kind of thing a little bit annoying. Chemo is the current target as of Sunday. Specifically, Chelsea and MJ want him out. Cam, not so much. But anyways, on Monday, September 30th, MJ and Chelsea land on not using the veto. The veto is not used for the first time of the season, and Chemo and Rubina remain on the block. Chemo and Rubina don't really campaign much. Chemo does check in with Cam, and Cam says he needs to see where the other votes lie because he doesn't want there to be a tie, but he'd want Chemo to stay in an ideal world. On Tuesday, the 1st of October, it is mostly a slow day with feeds just being about personal stuff. MJ makes a cake. Chelsea talks about kissing Cam on finale night, yada, yada, yada. Chemo and Rubina realized that they should have maybe been playing more actively sooner, which, you know, God bless them. MJ acknowledges to Chelsea that Chelsea getting her out eventually would be a good move for Chelsea. And I just, like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand people who want MJ to win. Like, I feel like I'm living in an alternate universe. Maybe it's people who don't watch feeds or don't keep up with feeds, and it's just the episode. Because maybe MJ doesn't seem as, like, idiotic in the episodes. Like, maybe with the context that I know, I'm like, you know, like, I don't know.
But it's like, why would you say that to Chelsea?
I mean, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference because, like, again, I think Chelsea would take MJ to the final two because of what I said earlier about how using the fact that she controlled MJ is good as a pitch, but would also maybe upset MJ, so she wouldn't want MJ to be on the jury receiving that part of her pitch. So I don't think MJ needs to fear, although not for the reason she thinks, but alas. And they're talking about next week specifically. How MJ is like, I know that getting me out next week would be good for you. Which I think is a stupid thing to say to Chelsea, but moving on. On Wednesday the 10th, oh my god, why do I keep doing that? On Wednesday the 2nd of October, Chemo campaigns to Chelsea, says he will target MJ next week so she doesn't have to, which is smart. I think that's a great pitch. Congrats, Chemo. I've literally been saying that keeping Leah would have been smart for MJ because then somebody would be targeting Chelsea and it wouldn't be her. But anyways, and Chemo's saying this to Chelsea about MJ now, which is just smart. You want people in the game who can target your allies who aren't you, so you don't have to betray your allies, but eventually you will be the only one left standing, in my opinion. Obviously, if you have a final two and you, like, there are nuances, but it's like there's nothing bad with somebody who wants to target somebody. Oh my god. I don't want to speak in all these absolutes, but it wasn't bad for MJ to have Leah in the game targeting Chelsea because Leah wasn't targeting MJ, but Leah would get Chelsea out so MJ wouldn't have to. And then also Leah was always going to be a target over MJ. I'm going on all these, I'm just repeating myself, but it's like, this is smart. I appreciate that on Kima's part. And again, I feel like there is a difference. And I've made plenty of comments about Kimo's passivity, and I do think that he was a passive player in a lot of the season in ways that I did find a little bit frustrating. But I will say the slight difference for me between Kimo and Rubina is because Kimo has that game knowledge, I do feel like when he tries well. I don't feel like Rubina's pitches, her proposals, her perspective on the game, her reads are really ever that great. And it bothers me. It bothers me. I'm not going to lie. Nothing against her personally. But, like, in terms of a player, in my opinion, she's not a good player. She's not. I'm sorry. Doesn't make her a bad person. It doesn't mean she shouldn't have been on the show. I'm not saying any of those extremes, okay, that sometimes people hear when you say they were bad at the game. The reality is she's not good at the game. And maybe if she knew more, she would be. Maybe if she knew more, she wouldn't. Who knows? Quinn knew a lot about the game, and he sucked in a lot of ways. And I can admit that. As a Quinian, okay? I named one of my foster kittens Quinn, so. MJ still wants Chemo to be evicted. Cam and Chelsea, at the end of, like, towards the end of Wednesday, seemingly end up deciding that they want to keep Chemo. Cam brings it up, and Chelsea agrees by the end of the day. Seemingly, I, going into Thursday, thought that Rubina was going home. So on Thursday, the 10th, oh my god, Thursday, the 3rd of October, which was Quinn's 26th birthday, which is not relevant to the game, but something I wanted to mention, my Libra King, happy belated birthday. Going into Thursday, I fully thought Rubina was going home this eviction night, although there was a little bit of back and forth, but it was unclear to me if Chelsea was being wishy-washy because she didn't want to, like, she wanted to throw, like, if Chelsea was just saying what she thought MJ wanted to hear, if she was actually, like, being honest about targeting Chemo. I don't know. I really thought that Chemo was safe. Thursday's episode was 2 hours long, like I mentioned, with some fun segments, some pointless. I really liked this segment of Chelsea talking to the fish tank because it reminded me of something that they used to do. Still sometimes, but I don't know. There hasn't been a Big Brother, not Big Brother. There hasn't been, this reminded me of something they used to do on Bachelor in Paradise. And maybe they did in the most recent season. I don't know. There was no Paradise this year. So I'm like, and 2023's season was not that good. So I blocked it out. But like, they used to do this thing all the time on Bachelor in Paradise, where they would have like contestants and they would be talking to producers, but they didn't want to show the producers. So they would intercut it with like some animal. and the animal would like squawk or chirp or whatever, or like make a little squirrel noise or whatever, and they would have subtitles of like what the animal was saying in response to the person, and it kind of made them seem a little bit crazy. Obviously, if you knew the reality, they're not talking to the wildlife, they're talking to a producer, but the producer's not being included in the show. And I just thought this was so funny because this is something they would do on Bachelor in Paradise, but like it's actually somebody talking to the fish. I loved it. I thought it was so funny. I don't know. I really liked that segment. I think they did like a tortilla slap segment. I don't know. Some pointless, some interesting. That one I really liked because it reminded me of my roots. The first reality TV show I really got into was the Bachelor franchise. So I hold a lot of love for the Bachelor franchise in my heart because reality TV is like one of my favorite genres of television. Like, I love reality TV, and it all happened for me because of The Bachelor. So shout out to The Bachelor. Also on Thursday's episode, we got a jury segment, which I love. And Leah revealed that she had a crush on Quinn. It was really cute. It was great. The jury segment was great. I wish we had more of it. I love them. There's been no social media. Like, last year, they basically forced them to record TikToks. Where are the TikToks? Why is no handlers recording TikToks with them? I don't know. I don't like that at all. I did appreciate the jury segment. It made me happy. The house guests got messages from their families, which was really nice. And Cam's dad made a Dogs at the Crib reference, which was so funny because none of them had any idea what they were talking about. Except Cam, of course. And then Chemo is evicted 2-0. And I was surprised, I will admit. I thought that it was going to be Rubina. And that's where we end. The final four is Rubina, Cam, Chelsea, and MJ. My predictions. I do think if Chelsea's in the final two, she will win. I don't anticipate Rubina winning. I think, like, I don't know. I think there is a possibility where MJ wins, depending who she's up against. Do I think Cam could win? I don't know. He loses against Rubina because Rubina just has more numbers. So I guess Rubina would win in that case. I don't know, because Rubina has two numbers. I don't know. I don't know. I don't anticipate Rubina and Cam being in the final two. That would be like a really out of left field outcome, in my opinion. Chelsea won the last HOH, like the final four HOH. Chelsea is the HOH right now, so she's going in the final three for sure. So I do think Chelsea will be in the final two, but I don't know. I'll talk about that all next week because a lot's going to happen. I will cover, obviously, this past week of the final four HOH, veto, etc., plus then and ending up in the final three, and then I will also cover everything that happens finale, so the jury roundtable, all of that. That will be in my next episode, I anticipate, early this upcoming week, hopefully like Wednesday-ish, because the finale is on Sunday, so that should give me enough time to get the episode out. This episode will probably be out Saturday, maybe Friday, if I'm lucky. Hopefully it'll be out Friday. I'm gonna try my best to get it out Friday. I'm recording this on Thursday, and I'm going to try to get it out Friday, but if not, it'll be out Saturday, and then the finale episode will be out Wednesday at the latest. So thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot. I currently think Chelsea played the best game of the final four and deserves to win. I think it would be so funny if Cam won. I tweeted this like literally 2 months ago at this point, maybe 1 month ago, that I saw a random TikTok of somebody say that they think astrologically Cam is in the best spot to win, and I literally was like, Cam is my winner pick because of that. I don't think Cam at this point deserves to win based on his gameplay, so I don't know if I'm rooting for him solely because I want the best player to win, and I think that's Chelsea, but I would love if Cam won because of my prediction. You know, I want to be right. Who can blame me? So I do think Chelsea's gonna win. I think MJ is the other person that I would maybe think might win. And then maybe Rubina and Cam neck and neck. I don't know. I think it's between Chelsea and MJ are going to win. And if Chelsea's in the final two, I don't see a way she doesn't win. But maybe I'm wrong. So I'll cover all of that next week. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry for all the delays. And thanks if you care about my thoughts on the game. This isn't really that good of an update. It's more just my thoughts of the last few weeks, but what a few weeks it's been, and you'll hear from me next week. Thank you. Bye.